Hey, welcome to the Clive Barker Podcast. This episode 76, Jazay and I talked with Jonathan Clayton, the company manager for Brainspunk Theater, and Eric Scott Evans, who played Crazy Face, Tile Eulenspiegel. So this was a fun interview, and we talked all about their production of Crazy Face that's happening right now, August 10th through 24th, in Christ Church Neighborhood House in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania.
Hi, this is Jose. I'm the co-host, along with Ryan, of the Clive Barker Podcast as well.
Hello.
Hi.
Hey, guys. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm Eric.
And I'm Jonathan Clayton, the company manager. Eric.
Sorry,
Eric is Crazy Face.
Oh, awesome. Yeah. So you guys have been doing Crazy Face from the starting on August 10th?
Yeah, we opened August 10th here in Philadelphia, and we go all the way through August 24th.
Well, awesome. So what made you pick out this particular play to perform?
Our artistic director, Christopher King, has been wanting to do this show for about 15 years.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so we finally had the opportunity with this theater company and this excellent cast and the right timing and everything, and it was just everything kind of stars aligned, and this was a great show, and we've got a great space to perform it in.
Wonderful. You're playing at the Christ Church Neighborhood House, right?
Yes. Yeah, it's in Old City, which is the oldest part of Philadelphia. It's a great 100-seat theater, and it's right behind the church that George Washington went to when he was president.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Holy cow.
We recently saw some pictures you shared on Facebook, and we also share them on our podcast page. They look pretty amazing. They look pretty amazing.
Yeah, that's it. It's a good combination of a great show and a really, really wonderful photographer.
Absolutely.
So are there are tickets still available now if people want to see it between now and the 24th?
Yes. We do tickets at the door. We do tickets online, and we have a few days where we're getting a little close to being sold out, but tickets are definitely still available for every performance.
And I was talking to Jazay about this a little earlier, but there haven't been any productions of Crazy Face in a while, and then this year there have been two.
Are you talking about the Minneapolis production?
Yes, yeah, Minneapolis, that's right.
That was July, right?
Yes, yeah, that was just last month. There was I think there was one in either earlier this year or maybe it's later this year on the West Coast.
Okay.
But I think we are considered the third production of it in the U.S.
Wow. Yeah.
There was also the Crazy Face Sacred Fools Theater Company in 2002 and also the one in Washington at the Constellation Theater in 2009.
Yeah, that was they had a really big production for that one.
Wow. Yeah. So it's great. I mean, this play is very attractive to people because it's such a fun play. I mean, from the plays that come from Forms of Heaven and Incarnations, this is very, very, you know, it's very funny. The character is very sympathetic, and people love Crazy Face. So I can see why this, you know, play gets picked so much.
Were you guys fans of Clive Barker before going into this production?
Yeah, I had seen Hellraiser, but that was about it.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And I kind of grew up a little bit with Clive Barker and some of the books and everything that he wrote, probably, but I was really fascinated with him with his book Cold Heart Canyon, which is, to me, like one of the best books ever written. I love that book. I probably read it four or five times.
Oh, wow. It is a good book.
Yeah. I've been meaning to read that one again. I think that one I've only read once.
Have you talked to Clive Barker about this production? Have you been in touch with him?
We have been mostly in touch with Phil and Sarah of his management group. They've been fantastic. We've gotten a couple of really nice notes from Clive. He's been very supportive of our show. He's been retweeting every picture that we've had for publication. He's been, you know, retweeting our ticket link for us. And he's just been great. We've even had some contact from Simon Bamford from Hellraiser. He sent us a really nice note wishing us luck. And we found out through this note that Simon was actually the person that Clive wrote this play for. And he actually couldn't perform it at the time with the theater company that they had in the UK. Simon wasn't actually available to perform it, but he said that, yeah, Clive had written that role for him. And he has never actually still seen a production of it, but he did send us some really nice well wishes from overseas.
Well, that's awesome.
Fantastic. We did talk to Simon Bamford before in the podcast as well, and I'm not sure if you ever mentioned that, but this play was written in 1982, I believe. So it was during the time when Clive Barker was writing the majority of the play scripts. Until that time, he had been using the Daw Company. It was more of a collaborative thing. Mm-hmm. But from a few plays onwards, it became more of a Clive Barker thing. So congratulations on being listed by Philly Mag as one of the nine things to do in Philly this week.
Yeah, we've got a lot of really good press for this show. We've been listed Philly Mag, a couple of the arts papers, City Paper, Philadelphia Weekly, Philly.com, which is the web version of The Inquirer, listed us as like one of the five things to do last night. So we've had some really great response to it from the press here.
Yeah, and you got a great review from Masked Man X. From thebloodshed.com.
Yes, we did. He of course didn't let us know he was coming or anything. And when the Google alert showed up that we had a mention, he could not have been kinder in what he wrote about our show. And a lot of productions, I don't think could ever ask for anything of a nicer review than what we had. And he was very articulate and artistic with what he wrote, and he was very supportive of the show.
Wow. That's one of the negative things about living in Alaska. I don't get to see stuff like this.
So how long is the play clocking in right now?
Let's see. It varies depending on intermission and, of course, start time and everything. But we're coming in just under 3 hours, including the intermission. It's a long piece. It's got a lot of material. And as you guys know, it's got a 42 character list on it. And we've got 26 actors filling in those 40 to 41 roles.
Mm. Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I see here the cast. Crazy Face is, of course, with Eric Scott Evans that we're talking to as well. And then Lenny, Crazy Face's brother, is played by Joel Dickerson. Annie, Crazy Face's sister-in-law, is played by Kara Boland. And you got the whole cast just on your website, brainspunktheater.com. So, yeah, that's a lot of people.
Yeah, it's. I think we started rehearsals in June. We've got a really great rehearsal studio and we can fit most everyone in there, but now that we've got some room to play, it's amazing how big this show's getting.
So you've been working with or talking with Phil and Sarah. You said that Stokes, that they had given you some background or history on the play.
They've been really like our point of contact with the contractual side of it, but also in relaying Clive's support for the show and telling us how much he really appreciates the pictures and all of the effort and everything that we put into this show.
All of our news and everything we report on pretty much comes from them. they're the source for sure.
And you guys saw the big news about, I'm sure you know, about Nightbreed and everything.
Oh yeah.
We actually were the founders of a fan movement that it was called Occupy Midian, and we kind of helped Russell get some promotion done for the Cabal Cut, and it was really fun, but it was quite an adventure.
Yeah, we'd been working on that for 2 years.
The petition and all that stuff. Yeah. So we're really happy that it's coming out finally.
Yeah. I think we're going to have a, once it's out, we're going to probably have a bit of a reunion for our cast and do a cast party / watch party for it when it comes out.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. Simon Bamford is in that movie, too.
Yep.
Yeah. So have you guys looked at Forms of Heaven and Incarnations? Are there any other plays out of those two books that you might consider producing?
We have looked at maybe doing The History of the Devil.
Mm-hmm.
I know right now I believe that's playing in New York in their Fringe Festival.
Mm-hmm.
So we will probably look at maybe doing that in a couple of years. We have our 2015 season already set up.
Wow.
We're definitely considering it for 2016.
It's interesting that The History of the Devil is another one of those plays that's really fun to read and seems to be picked by a lot of theater companies. Also, another thing that's funny is that Beacon Audiobooks is going to distribute audiobook versions of Incarnations and Forms of Heaven in the fall of 2014. Yeah, that was announced a short time ago. Incarnations and Forms of Heaven are going to be produced as audiobooks. It's interesting because I remember I've heard The History of the Devil before I ever read the play, because there was this online production company called the Seeing Ear Theater, and they did a production, a very fancy production of The History of the Devil, which was pretty much my first contact with Clive Barker's plays. So it's interesting that they're going to do audiobooks of all the plays now.
That's great. Do they have a cast lined up already for it?
I am not sure. The news just came out.
I went through their website and I didn't read anything about who the
cast is going to be. Yeah. But it's called Beacon Audiobooks.
Cool. We will definitely check that out.
Did you ever read the original Teal Eulenspiegel book?
No, not the book.
Because it was actually Clive Barker used the character Teal Eulenspiegel from a Belgian writer's book called I've read that book. It's really good. I do recommend it. It's called The Legend of Teal Eulenspiegel and Lemme Gudzak. It's about this hero that fights the Reformation. He's a Flemish prankster. It's really interesting because this came from an oral poetry / legend, and then Charles de Coster in 1867, he gathered all those songs as a novel. And I think that's where Clive Barker got the character of Teal from.
Yeah.
There's certain parallels, like he meets the Pope, and there's the guy who falls with the wings and all that stuff. So it's interesting. Clive Barker did a great take on it. Clive Barker's play is a little more more merry. There's more prankster stuff going on. The original book is more like an adventure. Teal is more like a hero. So, but it's really cool. I recommend that book.
That's great.
Yeah, I've done a lot of background research on Teal Eulenspiegel and the folklore, but I did not know that there was like a comprehensive book that Clive Barker established the play from.
Yeah, we'll add links to all that stuff on the show notes once we put the interview up.
And he did say in his introduction to the play in Forms of Heaven that it's not necessary to read that book to because I think he took a lot of liberties.
Yeah,
that's true. Yeah, that's true. I've read the original book, so I can attest that there are indeed lots of liberties in this play.
So how has it been playing Teal Eulenspiegel?
It's been crazy. It's been very challenging, but it's a lot of fun and very exhausting. I don't know. It really kind of changes every night because it's like squeezing a 9-year time span into 3 hours. So it's been, like I said, difficult, but a lot of fun, but very tiring.
In the pictures that you guys have published, there is Teal is the guy with the overcoat, and he doesn't wear makeup, right?
Correct, yes.
Right. Lenny is the evil clown. That's his brother.
Yeah, we tried to stay as close to the description that Clive gave about, because he doesn't really mention that Teal has clown makeup until the scene where he reunites with Annie and he's been entertaining the troops.
Yeah.
Lenny is described as like the classic silver style clown. And it comes across really terrifying because Joel Dickerson is amazing in that role. And right down to the nipple twist, everything gets just amped up from him, and he's fantastic.
That's wonderful. It's funny because there are two kinds of clowns. There's usually the white-faced clown and the Auguste clown, which is like the he's more like the goofy one that has the big muzzle painted around his mouth and the big black circles around his eyes. And while the white-faced clown is usually what, in Portugal, we refer to that as a rich clown. He usually plays like an oboe or a saxophone. He wears a pointy hat. He dresses in white. But I would say that the Teal is kind of an Auguste-type character of clown. Mm-hmm. He's like a joker, a fool, but almost like a divinely touched fool. Like he can talk to angels, and Lenny gets really upset about that.
Sure. And it's great because Clive does, pretty much an homage to clowns. He's got the Pulcinellas.
Yeah.
He has the pantomime horse.
The
three spies who are just as goofy as they are. And the old clown that Teal meets along his journey, kind of represents the standard clown, the one that is recognizable even now.
Yeah, and when I was reading Maskman X's review, he does raise an interesting question. Like Lenny is almost like Frank from Hellraiser, the brother of Larry. Yeah. And the box that they find, the MacGuffin that they introduce into the play at one point, is almost like a puzzle box with a secret inside. So it almost like hints of Hellraiser there.
Yeah, there are. And we very much thought about even just hinting at that in some of our marketing, but we didn't want to touch something that is so sacred to a lot of us with Hellraiser.
Sure.
But it is definitely foreshadowed, I believe, with the secret box and Frank and Lenny and the comparisons of the two. Yeah, absolutely.
I don't think that anything you could do could ruin Hellraiser compared to what's already been done.
That's quite true,
We didn't turn Hellraiser into a musical yet, so...
Hey, you know, over the years, being a big Clive Barker fan, I do remember some announcements that Hellraiser the musical was being produced. So who knows? Maybe one day someone will actually pull it off.
I will.
It's 2016.
Yeah, that might be 2016. You never know.
Yeah, like have like Frank walk on stage and sing like "Come to Daddy" as a song or something like that.
Yeah, that might actually work. Now the special effects on stage would probably be a little interesting. A lot of light.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, one of my favorite plays from those two books also is Frankenstein in Love. But I think that one would be effects heavy and actually pretty gory to produce.
It is. It is a Grand Guignol play. It's very, very bloody.
Well, that is actually what we're looking at for, not that show, but we have a separate division of Brainspunk that is, it's called Shocked in the style of Grand Guignol. And that's what some of our shows are going to be next year. We're doing two by Philip Ridley from the UK and a story about Elizabeth Bathory and the Rocky Horror Show, the Jeffrey Dahmer one-man show.
Yeah, we'll add the year 2015 schedule to the show notes as well so people can know what's coming up.
Great, thank you.
Yeah, well, cool. Oh, man, I wish I could go see it now.
Me too. And Philadelphia is beautiful. I mean, Philadelphia is beautiful. I saw pictures of the area where the theater is, and you got those cobblestone streets, and it looks amazing.
Yeah, it's. I mean, it's the birthplace of the country. It's where the Declaration of Independence was signed, and we are within blocks of that for this theater. So it's great. It's beautiful being here.
Also, the poster is very beautiful, the poster for Crazy Face.
Thank you. We had a good model and we had a good photographer.
You got the wings there, and they're going to be very important come the end of the play. So I love the tagline, even a clown can seek redemption.
Excellent.
Yeah, it's very. I think it's very fitting of, you know, everyone can get redemption in something, and everyone's got a different journey, and even Teal is capable of growing up and redeeming himself into a man.
Right. All right. So that's Crazy Face by Clive Barker, directed by Christopher King. It's going to go on from August 10th to the 24th, and you can catch it in Philadelphia, Christchurch Neighborhood House, and, you know, go to brainspunktheater.com and get your tickets.
It's $25 general admission?
Yes.
Or call 215-278-9504.
Yeah, well, thanks so much for coming on. We really appreciate that, and thanks for reaching out to us. I really wish that I could come and see it, but hopefully a lot of our listeners here on the East Coast will get a chance.
I think we've had a couple of them already show, and we probably will have a few more.
Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah. So that was Jonathan Clayton and Eric Scott Evans, who plays Crazy Face. Jonathan Clayton is company manager for Brainspunk Theater. So yeah, Crazy Face, as you know, is a play from Forms of Heaven. And here's what Clive Barker said in 1996 about how he wrote these plays. This is taken from the Revelations. This is taken from Laughter, Love, and Chocolate, an introduction.
Yeah, that's in Forms of Heaven.
Yeah, and it says, Alastair Cameron invited me to write a trio of plays as summer workshop projects at the Cockpit. Crazy Face was the first of these, and after the constraints of writing for a small touring ensemble like the Dog Company, which regularly performed in tiny spaces above pubs, it felt wonderful to be unleashed, to be able to create stories that called for a large cast, and to write scenes that employed an ambitious range of lighting and scenic effects. Excited by the sheer scale of what I now had at my disposal, comparatively speaking, I wrote Crazy Face as a kind of fool's epic. The result is a play that is part pageant, part circus, and part meditation on the glory of clowns. I loved writing it, spiking its high spirits with sudden eruptions of violence and scenes of strange melancholy. I'm sorry. Clive did drink from the fountain of mask theater, mime theater. Mm-hmm. With the Dog Company, so it's natural that he would want to write this as kind of a tribute to the clowns.
Well, and traveling, adventuring clowns seem like a theme too. I mean, you've got Maximilian Bacchus and
oh yeah,
yeah,
what yeah.
Was,
this
what
is
was the clown's name in that? I'm blank.
Domingo di Barondo.
Yeah, of course. Yes, right.
Yeah, which was actually a real person that he saw the headstone in the Liverpool cemetery, which is interesting. But the Crazy Face, man, it's really cool. I read the book, like I had mentioned in the interview, by Charles de Coster. Mm-hmm. And it's very very nice book, very adventurous. Teal Eulenspiegel is more like he fights like he lives in the Flanders region, and there's stories like when he was born and when he got baptized. He was baptized like three times. Once because it was raining when they took him to the church. The second one was the priest that was going to baptize him, but this worker working on the ceiling of the church dropped a bucket of ice water on top of him. And then there's like the third baptism, which is when his family brings the kid back from the church and they all stop at this inn and drink beer. And even the kid drinks beer. So that's his third baptism. Yeah, they drank beer to get warm so they could dry out from the rain.
Oh, wow.
It's like, and then you see Teal Eulenspiegel grow, and you know his dad gets accused by this crazy witch of doing something, and he ends up being burned alive at the stake. And then that is a very defining moment in Teal'c and Spigen's life, because he goes to his father's corpse after it's done burning, and he puts his hand in his dad's chest, and he takes out the ashes of his dad's heart. He puts them in a bag around his neck, and that bag is going to be there for the rest of the book. And, you know, he's going to do everything on his father's ashes. And it's really fantastic. And Lem Gudzak is his friend. He's kind of this fat guy, funny, like comic relief guy. Mm-hmm. He likes to eat. He loves to eat a lot. And then he becomes a pirate, and then they become pirates. And it's like, it's pretty cool. It's wow. pretty cool. Yeah, it's very entertaining. It's a short book, but it feels very long because so much happens. There's this cardinal or bishop or something that they kidnap, and it's like, this guy is Lema Gudzak. He has a reason to hate this guy, this cleric, because he told his wife, Lema's wife, that she shouldn't sin, and so she should remain caste. And so he convinces Lema's wife not to go to bed with him, and his wedding ends up destroyed. And so when this guy Lema Gudzak finds this priest, he puts him on a cage on their ship, and he starts feeding him all this food that he cooks, and he starts making the priest get fatter and fatter and fatter until he gets like 2 chins, 3 chins, 4 chins. And it's just so wacky. It's wow. very, very, very wacky and very magical and almost dreamlike. Very funny. So I do recommend that if you can find it. Let wow. me see what the
Did
name
you
of that
read
was.
It, when you read it, was it an English translation?
Actually, it was a Portuguese translation.
Okay.
But I think the original is in French because it's a Belgian classic.
Yeah.
It's called The Legend of Teal Eulenspiegel and Lema Gudzak. I'll add these to the show notes.
Cool. Yeah.
But of course, the legend of Teal Eulenspiegel comes from way beyond that. Teal Eulenspiegel was a 14th century Low German, I think that's what it's called. So I'm trying to figure out here. He was from the Low German folklore, a trickster figure. Oh, there's also a lot of stuff in that book about Teal being a kid and going to like fairs and putting up this little theater where he would tell people their fortune if they gave him like a coin. And there's some really funny things, like this old guy with a really young wife comes over, and he offers them a mirror, and whenever they look in the mirror, they see their future or something. So Teal puts like these horns around the mirror when the old man looks into it, so it implies that his wife is going to cheat on him. And then while the guy is looking into the mirror, Teal, the kid who's just a teenager, is already like feeling up his wife, and kissing her neck and stuff like that. So it's really funny. That's why he was called Teal Eulenspiegel. Eulenspiegel means owl and glass. So he showed people a mirror, and that's where the glass part comes from. I haven't read that book in a while. It's really fantastic. Really read that book. It's The Clive Barker's play is awesome, of course, but the book is also very, very entertaining.
Huh. I'll have to look it up.
Yeah, yeah. I think there was also – wasn't Ben Jonson an American writer and figure, a doctor? I think Ben Jonson mentioned in English literature Teal Eulenspiegel in a comedic play called The Alchemist in 1599. So – wait. He was British. Never mind. He was yeah. America didn't exist at the time, so never mind. But yeah, yeah. So Charles de Coster was the first guy to actually, unite all these narratives and all these little songs and verbs and chapters into a book of the Teal Eulenspiegel legend. Really cool.
So yeah, all I've read of Teal Eulenspiegel was obviously just. Crazy Face, and that was in 1996 when Forms of Heaven came out. So I'm a little rusty on the whole thing.
Yeah. So it's unclear if this guy actually existed or not, but according to origin and tradition on Wikipedia, it says that he was born in Kneitlingen near Brunswick around 1300.
Oh.
And he traveled throughout the Holy Roman Empire. So he was a vagrant. But, you know, 1300, we can't be sure if he was real or just like a legend.
Yeah, yeah, right. Yeah.
So other things that Clive Barker has said, especially about Crazy Face, from the production notes of Forms of Heaven, he says, if Crazy Face's journey teaches anything, it is that the rich and the mighty are not any more secure than those they lord over. The laughter and the high spirits of the piece should never quite drown out the sound of the four fatal horsemen coming to claim both the kings and the fools of the world. So, yeah, that's really awesome. And Clive Barker wrote this play in 82 when he was working with the Cockpit Youth Theater. Really cool. And also there's paintings that Clive Barker did for some of the characters of Crazy Face. Mm-hmm. I don't remember if these can be seen in Forms of Heaven, but yeah, they are in the Revelations website.
They're ink, right? They're black paintings, right?
Yeah, yeah. There's like at least a couple of them are on the Revelations, and we'll add those to the show notes.
Yeah, they kind of look like Thief of Always pictures.
Yeah, yeah.
There's one for Crazy Face of I think it's of Teal upside down.
Yeah, it looks like him with like a few tufts of hair coming out of his yeah, head, like two on the side and one on the top to make him look really. I also discovered while preparing for this podcast that there was a thesis for the degree of Master of Arts at Stellenbosch University Department of Drama Faculty of Arts, written by a guy called Liesel Spradley. And his thesis is called Deadly Funny, The Subversion of Clowning in the Killer Clown Genre. And he does mention Crazy Face in his thesis. So here's what he says, a really short paragraph. In Clive Barker's play Crazy Face, for instance, the eponymous Crazy Face comes across an old mute clown who blows out a long, slow column of water as his eternal greeting. And then he explains this blowing out of water. In a typical Commedia dell'arte scene, water was thrown about and characters spat fountains of water out of their mouths to drench their companions. These routines have their origin in the tradition of throwing liquid at audience members and each other as a healing ritual. Other liquids stand in for the blood as its substituted symbol when dealing with the public, and while the use of blood has disappeared from most practices, its substitution remains a prominent feature. Yeah, I remember Gore uses a lot of blood as well.
Yeah.
You can consider them like heavy metal clowns to an extent.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. They're satire.
Yeah. So that's pretty cool. That is really, really cool that these things come from previous older rituals, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, that is really cool. That's some pretty deep research.
Well, I came across this and I thought it would be interesting to add it to the podcast.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah. So I guess clowns would be seen as kind of a healer in the tribe as well, not just the witch doctor, which makes some sense because clowns do, you know, make us laugh. And when we laugh, we forget about our problems.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's interesting that he's had a history of mime kind of stuff and clowns, you know, and usually the clowns are heroes or are sympathetic characters, except for Dredd. Right?
Yeah.
In Dredd, they're horrifying and
good catch.
Kind of a juggernaut.
Well, Lenny is also a bit of an evil clown in this play. Also, we were talking earlier about the Dog Company before the interview, and I mentioned about The Sack, which was a Dog Company play, like a minor Dog Company play, I think. Mm-hmm. In The Sack, I think that we have some women who trap a man inside a sack and then have sex with him. And that is also something that happens to Lenny in this play, I believe.
Huh.
Yeah. Because Lenny has three wives in this play. And I haven't read this play in years, though. I really need to read it again, but I don't have the book with me right now.
I've just been overwhelmed with work. Like today I did showings all morning and I made a break for this podcast and then I got to go back out at 2:30 and do more showings.
Oh yeah, right. Okay. Well, you know, it was really fun. It was a really fun episode. We're still working on finishing The Great and Secret Show. Stay tuned and hopefully the next podcast episode will be The Great and Secret Show.
I'm about a third of the way into that.
Yeah. Do you want to do it as one episode, one shot, or do you want to break it out?
So yeah, I don't want to go like point by point through the plot of the book. I'd much rather talk about, you know, make notes of things that we like and things that we, you know,
Absolutely, yeah.
Things that stand out and things that we want to talk about. And that way there's less spoiling it, you know, for people, and you know, it's more of a review kind of.
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay, so do you want me to leave this part where we discuss this in the podcast, or?
Oh, are you editing it?
If you want to, I can do that. I don't have anything to do today.
Oh, okay.
Sarah's working. She had to work on Saturday, so.
Oh, okay.
Right now I'm home alone. I can do this today and give it to you tomorrow or something.
Okay. Yeah. We can. You want to go into the news too?
Right. The news. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Sorry that I took over this.
Oh, that's okay.
Okay.
Yeah, so I guess the first thing is, for site news, we wanted to apologize for our summer hiatus. We realize it's been over a month since our last episode. And, you know, I went on vacation for 3 weeks, and Jose, you took another week after that. And then
went to Vegas.
Yeah, and on top of that, I had expected to have the Great and Secret Show read on vacation, and when you're on vacation with a toddler, you don't really have even less free time than you do when you know.
Even without a toddler. I mean, I took the Great and Secret Show with me to Vegas. Do you think I touched the book? No.
Yeah. I mean, it's good intentions, and I am a third of the way in, and every once in a while I would find a little time to read, but not very often. But I'm hoping to now. I'm also, you know, full disclosure, I'm also really gotten into, like, rebuilding these old Amiga computers.
Mm-hmm.
And I just, oh my gosh, there was a Craigslist ad where they were asking $500 for an Amiga 3000 and an Amiga 1000. And you know, those are, all this stuff together is worth, like, $200.
Wow.
I got it for $100. And I promised to volunteer for Green Star, which is a recycling place.
Cool. Yeah. So, yeah. And you're playing actual, you know, real Amiga games now, not emulation.
Right, yeah. Exactly.
Emulated games, right? Yeah.
I've had a lot of trials and tribulations with, you know, hooking up, like, modern hardware accessories to, you know, to be able to read files off of compact flash cards, you know, that you use as hard drives and things like that. And, like, one of these, the Amiga 1000, I'm probably going to sell, because that's more of, like, history. It's not really useful.
Sure. Yeah. You know, I've also been, like, on vacation, like you said, and doing some job searching, and also some gaming. So that's why I've, you know, I play, like, Skyrim and Fallout and stuff like that, so.
I feel like I've gotten a little bit behind on what's going on with Clive Barker too. I mean, there hasn't been a whole lot, but there's been little announcements here and there, and we've kind of compiled some of those for our news.
Yeah.
The other thing that we'll just touch kind of briefly on this, but Official Hellraiser, you and I are no longer admins.
No.
Yeah. Well, we're not admins on Official Hellraiser anymore, and We were taken off as admins, and then you told them that they should add me back on, and they did, but you know, that kind of prompted me to ask what's going on there, and what I found out made me believe that there's a good chance that it's not really official anymore.
It's no longer Clive Barker sanctioned.
Yeah. And so. I'm saying there's a good chance because, you know, I'm hearing things, but I'm not an authority. It made me nervous enough that I left, even though he added me back on and I did one post and then I left. So,
sure.
We did
two episodes where we talked once with Alex. He was the social media manager for Clive Barker at the time.
Yeah.
He publicly stated that he's no longer, you know, running the Clive Barker page anymore.
Yeah.
And we also talked to, we did an episode also with the admins of Official Hellraiser.
Yeah.
Where we talked to Elizabeth Howell and Chrissy King and, you know.
Yeah, and Christy's not, she was taken off also, so she's not an admin.
Yeah, so right now it's pretty much Alex, Elizabeth, and I believe the Cenobite actors are still active there, which they post a lot of good content on the Official Hellraiser page.
Yeah.
Barbie Wilde, Nicholas Vince, and I believe Simon Bamford. So,
yeah.
You know, even though it might not be, Clive Barker sanctioned, I would say, it's still it's still posting a lot of relevant stuff. Sometimes they post a few memes, which ideologically speaking, I didn't really, I didn't really consider that to be content that should be posted so often. But,
yeah, that's one of the. That was kind of my thinking too. It's and part of the reason that you and I were taken off is that we weren't posting every day. But there is so much stuff on there, and
right.
If there was big news, I would want the big news to have a day in the sun. You know what I mean? I wouldn't want it to get buried by memes and jokes and
is Pinhead bi, gay, or straight?
Yeah, or Hello Kitty, over and over again, the Hello Kitty Cenobites and
And the quotes, the block quotes in Instagram saying something like, welcome to the worst nightmare of all reality. And then it says Clive Barker. It's not Clive Barker. That was a line from Pinhead in Hellraiser 8 or something, or 6. I don't know. I don't remember anymore. But so if you posted something that was actually quality content, it would immediately get buried underneath a bunch of like other stuff, like pictures and drawings and stuff. So that's one of the reasons that also put us off a little bit.
Yeah.
I was actually also editor on a few other official Clive Barker pages, like official Lament Configuration, official Candyman, official Lord of Illusions, and I'm also off of those pages at this point.
Yeah, well, and those, obviously those didn't have the following that official Hellraiser did, but they have the same kind of issue, is that they all have the same, run by the same person.
Yeah. So, anyway, like those pages for all you want, but we're just not working on those pages anymore. We're focusing more on the podcast right now.
Occupy Midian too.
And Occupy Midian, because the deluxe edition and the regular edition are coming out. People from other countries outside of America are a little pissed off about it. And
And if you see stuff going on Occupy Midian that you don't like, let us know. We're happy to listen to you. And same with the podcast page.
Give us feedback
too. Yeah, give us, if you don't like things that are going on, or you wish we would talk about something else different, or stop talking about something, or don't post certain kinds of things, let us know what you think. We're open to feedback. We're not going to fight you.
Absolutely. So, like we mentioned, Clive Barker News, Incarnations and Forms of Heaven are being put out as audiobooks. Mm-hmm. The date they mention is fall of 2014, so that should be a few months from now.
That's really cool, and that got me thinking, and I didn't know if we were going to debate this with John
the theater company
and Eric Scott Evans, but is that helpful for people making plays, or is that really just for the fans?
I don't know, but from my understanding of it and my experience of it, I think listening to an audiobook of a play kind of locks some of the elements into your mind, and then it doesn't allow so much flexibility when you're actually producing a play, because you keep thinking, oh yeah, this guy should say this like that.
Oh yeah.
For me, like History of the Devil, I always envision now the senior theater version of it with the narrator.
That's true.
That's talking in that funny voice, and the devil kind of snarling.
It's like watching Hellraiser. You will always imagine Kirstie looking
Julia,
like Ashley Lawrence.
Yeah. That's one of the things I think. But who knows? It's always good. I mean, this stuff is always good when it comes out. I mean, more people will get, in contact with the plays. And some people don't like to read, or, prefer to listen to audiobooks in their car when they're driving, like you. So
I do podcasts. I don't really listen to books that much. I've done it
right,
like twice.
Okay. So that's coming out from Beacon Audiobooks. We will add a show note to this episode.
Yeah, that is pretty cool. I mean, and plays are meant to be performed. So in that respect, for the fans, it's probably pretty cool, but maybe not for people who are looking to produce the plays.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like you said, History of the Devil is also coming out. Actually, it's already started.
Yeah, it's over. Or no,
it's over. Really? No.
No, that was the Minneapolis Nimbus.
There's still one day. There's still one day left. History of the Devil, Fringe Festival, New York, August 10, 12, 13, 14, and 17. Today's the 16th. So tomorrow's the last performance.
Yeah, by the time you're listening to this, it's probably over.
Yeah, that's true, because we're going to have to edit the episode. So
yeah.
Sorry about that. But
yeah, but I mean, if you're in New York and you're a Clive Barker fan, hopefully you knew about that already. You know, sorry, we'll try to be more post news a little more often. But
also, yesterday I bought my last two issues of Next Testament, number 11 and 12.
Oh, yeah, right. So I'm behind on those. And actually, Jose from Boom asked me if I had them all, and I think I'm behind. I think I'm missing like three. But yeah, right. We want to talk about the whole run of comics. So we talked about dedicated an entire episode to that.
Sure.
Soon.
It'll be fun.
Yeah.
We'll try to keep the spoilers away from the episode, but I still have to read the two last issues. I haven't read them yet.
Okay.
But it looks good. It looks really good. Clive Barker even tweeted about it. He tweeted something about being very thankful to Mark Miller and Amy Yang for completing the story. So he tweeted something about that.
Well, that's cool. That'll be and I'm sure Mark will be kind of relieved now that he's not or probably is relieved now that he doesn't have that constant work on his plate.
Yeah,
anymore.
Although now they're doing Hellraiser Bestiaries as well, which I forgot to tell my comic book store to save for me.
Yeah.
Is the first issue already out? I think so.
It was in August sometime.
Okay, I need to go there and get that one. Yeah.
I need to stop by my comic shop, but hopefully they haven't like thrown out my pull list like they do sometimes.
Yeah, that sucks.
Yeah. Okay. So what else have we got? Oh, History of the Devil we just talked about in Next Testament. Oh, this is something I just wanted to throw out there. I have an idea for doing a BBS, like an old school BBS, but you would come into it through Telnet instead of dialing a modem. Mm. So Telnet is an old internet protocol for people who don't remember. That would connect computers together, you know, through the internet.
Sure, yeah. I used to use Telnet when I was a junior at university.
I used it to talk freshman to Jennifer when I was going to college in Alaska, and she was in Washington. So
yeah.
I would Telnet to a redial modem in UW that, you know, and then log in using my friend's account and Telnet to her modem on her computer, and we weren't supposed to be doing that, but that was our way of basically texting each other.
Sure.
Yeah.
I remember using that and using IRC and stuff like that. I think ICQ was more popular in the United States.
Yeah, we did ICQ later, but you know, mm-hmm. back in the early 90s, we did Telnet.
I do have a correction about a previous episode that we did. One of our listeners told me that I had claimed that another reason to fear the night on the cover of Scream Factory's Nightbreed Director's Cut, I think I might have said it was a new slogan.
Oh.
It was actually an old slogan from an early trailer of Nightbreed. So here's the correction.
Okay. What listener was that?
Ah, here it is. Okay. So it was the listener was Nicholas Schuning.
Oh, okay. Right.
Yeah. He said... hope everything's all right. Anyway, I just wanted to give a shout out to the Clive Barker podcast. It's all kinds of awesome. Thank you. And I try to listen to as soon as it comes up. Keep up the good work.
Okay. Sorry, I just remembered some late breaking news.
And then he said, I listened to your latest Clive Barker podcast. I'm totally stoked for the director's cut of Nightbreed. So are we. I'm having a friend who's living in the U.S. buy one and send it to me. Anyway, you said in the podcast that a new reason to fear the night is a new tagline, but I've just read the first issue of the 90s Nightbreed comics, and at the end there's an ad for the movie Nightbreed where it says, from the imagination of Clive Barker comes a new reason to fear the night, just so you know.
Cool.
All right, well, thanks for the correction.
Yeah, something I just remembered that was kind of late breaking news. I think just today they posted Clive Barker's Facebook account posted a picture of a door with a sign on it that said Do Not Disturb record, something like Do Not Disturb recording for Nightbreed, and they were recording Clive Barker's audio commentary.
Yeah, they just locked that down with Mark Miller.
Yeah.
So there's going to be a audio commentary track, a brand new one for Nightbreed on the Scream Factory release, which is awesome.
So the Imaginer book, the Century Guild announced that those books, they announced that they would be done, they would be finished up by the end of August. And I think that, and they've come in already. I think there was a recent announcement that they've come in already. I know that Clive Barker has some already, and he's been talking about them.
Mm-hmm.
And that you can pre-order them on realclivebarker.com.
I'm going to have to do that because I missed the Kickstarter deadline.
Oh,
I forgot.
Yeah.
I wasn't.
And another interesting thing is that even though there were only 300 of the 1977 catalog, you can pre-order those.
That's good for me because I, not having contributed to the Kickstarter due to my faulty attention span. I forgot to do that. And that was actually one of the rewards in the Kickstarter when they were extending.
And I didn't pay enough for that, but he had said he would send one to me, but it might be hard for him to remember to do that.
Yeah. Anyway. That was the Clive Barker news and,
So that's cool.
Really,
that art book is looking incredible from the pictures that we've seen online of it now.
I know. Did you remember when we talked to the guy from Century Guild, from Thomas Nagovin?
Yeah.
He actually told us how they were like taking these pictures with a very sophisticated camera, and they were doing color correction and all that stuff.
Yeah, and we know that it's not a Hasselblad lens; it's something way better than that.
Right. Because we read somewhere about that.
Yeah.
But that was cool. That's going to be amazing. That's going to be better. Or as interesting as the Visions of Heaven and Hell book.
Yeah, or better, yeah.
Or better, yeah, definitely better because, that book had a few issues with it, but hopefully.
Well, supposedly this is leagues above the image quality that one had.
Oh, yeah. Because I remember some things about Visions of Heaven and Hell, like using a little sketch in black, ink. That would take up two pages when really it wasn't necessary, or paintings that were like divided between two pages and you had the fold right in the middle of.
Yeah, so some important piece of the painting would be right in the gutter in between the pages.
Yeah. So that was,
Yeah.
So looking forward to the Nightbreed Director's Cut. Let's see when we get that from Scream Factory.
Yeah.
We would definitely do a whole episode about that.
You know, one thing I was wondering about this recording is if he recorded a new audio commentary for the theatrical cut. And you know, it's funny on Occupy Midian, a lot of the people are saying like, who cares about the theatrical cut? Well, I care. I mean, geez. Mm-hmm. It's going to be in high definition for the first time ever. I think that's huge. And the theatrical cut is what made us love Nightbreed.
Well, I see your point, yeah. Then again, it's not the movie Clive Barker wanted to do.
Yeah.
So.
Well, and it's not like they're not going to get the director's cut. They're going to get it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the director's cut is probably lots and lots better, but I still, I still like the theatrical cut, too.
I like the theatrical cut too. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, in the deluxe edition, we're going to have three Blu-rays. One of them is going to be that brand new transfer from the Interpositive. And Clive Barker never did a commentary track. So when we talk about a new commentary track, we're talking about a commentary track because he never did a commentary track for Nightbreed.
Oh, yeah, you're right. You're right. He never did.
You know, although he did tracks for like Hellraiser and Lord of Illusions, I believe.
So I wonder if he's done one for each version of the movie or just the director's cut.
I guess we'll find out, but I wouldn't be surprised if he only did.
Yeah, it might be complaining on the theatrical cut, I wouldn't have done this or that. Or
I wouldn't be surprised if he only made one for the director's cut, to be honest. So, and we don't really know what kind of new footage in film they found, so.
Yeah. Do you know who was behind Dread?
Not sure.
Is that anybody that we should know or that we might recognize their names if
I don't know because I don't have them with me right now, so I can't go there.
I can go and look at it.
Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised, though, if it was someone like Steven Dressler and Cheryl Benson, like the guys who did Lost Souls.
Yeah. Or Phil and Sarah. I don't know about
that. I don't think it was Phil and Sarah. I don't think they were involved with Clive Barker at that point.
Yeah, and it doesn't seem like their kind of thing to do.
Mm. It would be awesome to have a newsletter from Phil and Sarah, but they're working on those books, which is also pretty good.
Yeah, geez, that's way more comprehensive than any newsletter could be.
Yeah. All right, so I guess that's it for this episode.
Bandwidth for this episode was provided by Rob Ridenour. Thank you so much, Rob, for helping us out. We appreciate it. This is an expensive podcast to run, but we do it out of love for Clive Barker's work. And we appreciate having you part of the team. So thank you so much. You can reach us on the web at www.clivebarkercast.com. Leave us a review on iTunes. We're on Podomatic, Xbox Music Store, TuneIn Radio, Stitcher, Double Twist, BlackBerry, and Pocket Cast. Like our page on Facebook and join the Occupy Midian group. On Twitter, we're at BarkerCast and at Occupy Midian. The forum is www.clivebarkerfans.com/forum. Opening theme by Colin Lacativa.